You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of fiction serials written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Thanks, everyone, for listening to and commenting on Fake Geek Girl. It was really cool to have the feedback coming in bit by bit, and I'm glad you enjoyed reading, well, listening to the story that I read to you. This week we are starting a brand new original fiction serial for the podcast. It's called Glass Slipper Scandal. I think it's going to be in about 9 parts. I haven't quite finished writing it yet. Here I am writing without Annette again. But I have finished quite a few chapters, so I am very confident that I will finish in time to catch up with myself. So, part 1 of Glass Slipper Scandal. Castle charming aflutter for autumnal fling. Who will marry our princes gone wild? First day at the Herald. The best thing about magical ink, said Amira, is that it smells different to everyone. They say that if you ever find a person who smells the same thing that you do in the ink, that person is your soulmate. Kai craned his neck around the charming Herald printer room, taking in the swoops of paper overhead, the scratching of quills, the splashes of black ink in courier font, all crashing together in mid-air to make the news and gossip of the day into a tangible, readable object. All he could smell were wet feathers with a touch of vanilla and the raw weave of the paper itself. "That's not actually true, is it?" he asked. Amira laughed at him. "Sure it's true. Also, if you sleep with a violet under your bed, you'll dream of your best love. And if you find a stray glass slipper on a staircase, you should either marry or murder its owner within 24 hours. Kai blinked up at the grand floating wheels of paper and the day's headline, Castle Charming, a flutter for autumnal fling. It made a change at least from the variations on princes behaving badly, which had dominated the newspaper's front page over the summer. You don't actually believe all of that gossip bullshit that the Herald publishes about the royal family. Hey, said Amira, I write the horoscopes. You'd be amazed the level of bullshit I can stomach on a daily basis. So, what does magical ink smell like to you? He ventured. He'd been here a few hours, and she was the only one who thought he was worth talking to. It was a good idea to get a measure of what kind of person she was. Amira turned her pretty round face up to his. Possibly she was flirting. It was hard to tell with girls. Vanilla and wet feathers, she breathed. Kai hesitated, not sure whether to be horrified or suspicious. As ever, his default was awkward. Amira fell apart in a heap of giggles. Oh, Kai, the look on your face! I can't help my face. You totally fell for it. I didn't fall for anything. You were super obvious. He couldn't help grinning, though. A prankster. He'd much rather work alongside a prankster than a flirt. Everyone smells vanilla and wet feathers, then. Everyone who hasn't been snorting pixie dust, yeah. She looked terribly pleased with herself. You almost had me, Kai said generously. It wasn't true, but hey, he was on the verge of making a friend here, and it was his first day. You took what you could get. You're a good sport, Amira decided. You can eat lunch with me, and I'll only prank you once or twice a week. Thank you, he ventured. She patted him on the shoulder. Believe me, pet, you're getting off lightly. Now, let's get you a desk before they send you out on the rookie run. That sounded like something to be alarmed about. What does a rookie run involve? Throwing you to the lion's den, dressed as a lamb chop. Amira smiled at him from under her very dark eyelashes. Oh, and I wouldn't talk too loudly about the bullshit nature of gossip around here if I were you. This is a kingdom built on a fairy tale. Stories are important to us. Even the silly stories about who's snogging who, whether an engagement is forthcoming. Spoiler, an engagement is always forthcoming. Enter the doghouse. Welcome to the doghouse, said Corporal Jack, leading the way. She was tall, a solidly built wall of muscle and judgment with amazing hair. It was a rare thing for Dennis to look at a woman not much older than himself and think, yep, She could totally crack my skull with her thighs. I hope you don't mean that literally, Dennis joked as he followed her into the stone building, a former stable by the look of it, still slightly pungent with old straw. Jack gave him a sideways look. How else do you think I mean it? Oh, that was the other thing. Corporal Jack had no sense of humour. Nothing. Dennis had been trying to get a laugh out of her for the last half hour, and nothing. Maybe she was made out of the same granite they'd used to build the castle. It would explain a lot. Sure, he wasn't here to joke around. He took himself and this job very seriously. Getting a promotion out of the General Guards to the royal family's personal service was an amazing opportunity. But was it too much to ask for a partner who didn't get a pained crease between her eyes when he said something casually funny? "What's the boss like?" he asked, since they were there before everyone else. There was very little contact between the castle guards and the royal hounds, so he had little but rumour to go on, and the rumours were kind of terrifying. "Sarge?" Jack shrugged. "He's a broken-down hack with a drinking problem, but he knows his shit, and he's not an asshole most of the time." Wow, she didn't mess around. Dennis had barely managed to close his mouth after this revelation of brutal honesty before a voice like a rusty nail broke into his horrified silence. "He's also standing right behind you, Corporal." Corporal Jack didn't twitch. But Dennis was about ready to crawl under the floor from embarrassment. Seriously, time to revisit the theory that she was entirely made out of granite. "I knew you were there, Sarge," Jack said calmly. The Sarge circled them both. He was about an inch shorter than Jack, all sandy hair and wiry muscle, and while his uniform was crisp and pressed almost as sharply as theirs, he clearly hadn't shaved that morning. He was somewhere between 30 and 40, if Dennis had to guess, but his eyes were cynical enough for a man twice that. "That," said the Sarge in a low growl, "that is why you're my favourite kid." Jack smiled, a businesslike brief flash of a smile. "I know." "You must be the new pup. I've been seeing you around the castle. You do good work." Dennis had been expecting military formality and was shocked when the Sarge shook his hand with boyish enthusiasm. "Welcome to the doghouse." "I already said that," Jack added. "I did the slow walk and the dramatic flourish and everything." Sarge pointed a finger at her. "You don't get to say that part. I get to say that part because I'm the boss. You have at least 5 years before you get to challenge me for the top spot, kid." "Give me 4, she replied, "cool as you like." Dennis was busy having a heart attack. So it wasn't that Corporal Made of Stone didn't have a sense of humour. It was that he hadn't been plumbing a deep and dark enough well. "Right," said the Sarge with a cheerful smack to Dennis's shoulder. "You're in good hands with our Jack. The newbies who make it through as her partner have a higher survival rate than the others. Come to me if she makes you cry. I've got a handkerchief somewhere." Other hounds were beginning to mill into the doghouse now, and Dennis hoped that meant they were done with this strange initiation rite. Like him, the hounds wore the formal dress tabard of Castle Charming, red hearts and black spades against blinding white cotton, with red linens underneath. Dennis spotted several other new recruits in the crowd, in tabards so new that they squeaked. It was a far cry from the plain grey uniform he'd been wearing for the last 12 months. He was a royal hound now. Hell of a legacy to live up to. "All right, sweethearts," barked Sarge, standing on an upturned apple crate. "Let's leave the gossip for the bastards in the press gallery. It's the start of the season, and you know what that means. Today's autumnal fling is the first in a parade of butt-scratching, dull-as-dog-shit, fancy events bringing hundreds of well-dressed strangers into the castle and making trouble for us. Unlike the rest of the year, our princes gone wild are going to be expected to behave themselves in public. And we all know what that means." There was some muttering in the crowd. Dennis could take a guess. He read the Herald as much as any other kid his age, and the outrageous antics of the royal twins were a matter of public record, not to mention general castle gossip. The platinum-haired, silver-eyed Princes Chase and Cyrus Charming were in some kind of screwy contest, over which of them could fuck themselves up worst before their 20th birthday. Everyone knew that the royal family was a goddamn tragedy. What with the king in a haze of endless melancholy, the queen still buried in her enchanted sleep, and the princess hidden from public view since childhood with some mystery illness. It was down to those two beautiful broken princes to stand as the public face of Castle Charming. Dennis had figured that keeping those reckless boys alive and in one piece was going to be one hell of a job. He knew that when he signed up for this. And it was only just starting to sink in that it was also up to the Royal Hounds to keep the boys from the consequences of their drunkenness and debauchery, as well as protecting them from gold diggers and assassination attempts. Huh, and here he'd been thinking the worst shit he'd have to deal with here was a crossbow bolt to the back. Sarge was finishing up his speech. And as ever, we have some new muscle joining us this season. 6 shiny recruits handpicked from the trough to join the family's personal service. There are only 2 permanent positions available in the Hounds once the season closes, but let's face it, most of these newbies will fall by the wayside once they realise how bloody thankless this job is. Sarge's second-in-command, a senior corporal called Murray, took his place on the crate and started yelling out duty rosters. It was a maze of gobbledygook to Dennis, but he took it from the groans and cheerful fist pumps that corridor and roof duty were far more prized than positions inside the ballroom. Their names hadn't been called yet, and Corporal Jack's impressive musculature was beginning to sag. "I can't believe they're doing this to me again," she muttered. Dennis nudged her hip with a question in his eye, but she shrugged him off, not giving him a clue. "And finally," said Mari, with a vengeful tilt of her head, "personal prince detail, 8 till 2. Fergus and Dante are on Cyrus, Jack and Dennis on Chase." "Son of a bitch," swore Corporal Fergus. His partner, another newbie, looked alarmed. "Best of kingdom luck to you," said Sarge cheerfully, blowing a kiss to the hounds as a unit. 2 years since a ballroom fatality in this castle. Let's try to make it 3. Next time, smashing princesses parade in pumpkins. Thanks so much for listening. You can get in touch with me on Twitter at TansyRR or by commenting on Podbean. And you can support my Patreon. There's a link in the show notes. See you next week.